from the drain grate. "That's right, I'm down here. Can we get on with things?"
"We'd like you to knot our ropes, please," said Keith.
"I've got a bit of broken knife blade," said Peaches. "It's for sharpening the pencil. Would that be better?"
"Knife?" said Belicia. "Pencil?"
"I did say they weren't ordinary rats," said Keith.
Nourishing had to run to keep up with Dark Tan, and Dark Tan was running because he had to run to keep up with Sardines. When it came to moving fast across a town, Sardines was champion of the world. They picked up more rats on the way. Nourishing couldn't help noticing that these were mostly the younger ones, who'd fled because of the terror but hadn't gone far. They fell in behind Dark Tan readily, grateful to be doing something with a purpose. Sardines danced on ahead. He just couldn't help it. And he liked drain pipes, roofs and gutters. "You got no dogs up there," he said, "and not many cats." No cat could have followed Sardines. The people of Bart Blintz had strung washing lines between the ancient houses, and he leapt onto them, clinging upside down and moving as fast as he would on a flat surface. He went straight up walls, plunged through thatch, tap-danced around smoking chimneys, slid down tiles. Pigeons erupted from their roosts as he sped past, the other rats trailing behind him. Clouds rolled across the moon. Sardines reached the edge of a roof and leapt, landing on a wall just below. He ran along the top and disappeared in the crack between two planks. Nourishing followed him into a kind of loft. Hay was piled in parts of it, but a larger part was simply open to the ground floor below and supported by several heavy beams that ran right across the building. Bright light shone up from below, and there was the buzz of human voices and, she shuddered, the barking of dogs.
"This is a big stables, boss," said Sardines. "The pit's under the beam over there. Come on!"
They crept out on the ancient woodwork and peered over the edge. Far below was a wooden circle, like half a giant barrel. Nourishing realised that they were right over the pit. If she fell now, she'd land in the middle of it. Men were crowded around it. Dogs were tied up around the walls, barking at one another and at the universe in general in the mad, I'm-going-to-do-this-forever way of all dogs. And off to one side was a stack of boxes and sacks. The sacks were moving.
"Curt! How the crap will we find ham and pork in this lot?"
Dark Tan said, his eyes gleaming in the lights from below.
"Well, with old ham and pork, boss, I reckon we'll know when he turns up," said Sardines.
"Could you drop into the pit on a string?"
"I'm game for anything, Gov," said Sardines loyally.
"Into a pit with a dog in it, sir," said Nourishing.
"And won't the string cut you in half?"
"Ah, I've got something that helps there, boss," said Sardines.
He took off his thick coil of string and put it aside. There was another coil under it, glistening and light brown. He pulled at a piece of it, and it snapped back with a faint twang.
"Bands of rubber," he said. "I pinched them off a desk when I was looking for more string. I've used them before, boss. Very handy for a long drop, boss."
Dark Tan looked back on the boards. There was an old candle lantern there, lying on its side. The glass smashed, the candle eaten long ago.
"Good," he said, "because I'm getting an idea. If you can drop down..."
There was a roar from below. The rats looked over the beam again. The circle of heads had thickened around the lip of the pit. A man was talking in a loud voice. Occasionally there was a cheer. The black top hats of the rat catchers moved through the crowd. Seen from above, they were sinister black blobs among the grey and brown caps. One of the rat catchers emptied a sack into the pit, and the watchers saw the dark shapes of rats scurrying in a panic as they tried to find in that circle a corner to hide in. The crowd opened slightly, and a man walked to the edge of the pit, holding a terrier. There was some more shouting, a ripple of laughter, and the dog was dropped in with the rats. The changelings stared down at the circle of death and the cheering humans. After a minute or two, Nourishing tore her gaze away. When she looked around, she caught the expression on Dark Tan's face. Maybe it wasn't just the lamplight made his eyes look full of fire. She saw him look along the stable to the big doors at the far end. They had been barred shut. Then his head turned to the hay and straw piled up in the loft, and in the cribs and the mangers below. Dark Tan pulled a length of wood out of one of his belts. Nourishing smelled the sulphur in the red blob on the end. It was a match. Dark Tan turned and saw her looking at him. He nodded towards the piles of hay in the loft.
My plan might not work, he said. If it doesn't, you'll be in charge of the other plan.